Hearings will come to order. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Wentworth?
Here.
Senator Gallegos? Senator Corona? Senator Duncan? Senator Harris? Senator Hinojosa? Senator West?
Quorum's present. Members, you have in your books copies of the minutes from the May 3rd meeting. Any corrections or additions or a motion to approve them is printed.
I move.
Senator Duncan moves we approve the minutes. Any objection? Minutes are approved. Today we'll be hearing a testimony on committee charge number 3, which is study and make recommendations relating to the use and cost benefits of electronic recording as an alternative method of preserving records of official court proceedings. And what we're going to do is start with the members of the committee and our staff sitting out on that front row. We're going to have a little presentation of various technology used in court reporting. Take a few minutes. Any questions at this time? All right, if not, let's move out and have some. I might also say, those of you that want to testify, please fill out a witness card and bring it to the clerk.
I keep forgetting.
I'm gonna see if I can get him to do it.
Good morning.
Hey, that's pretty fast.
I hope this microphone will pick me up from up here. This is a bit of an awkward position because
you have it punched in on the mic.
Okay. You think that'll pick me up better?
That'll help you.
Thank
you.
Well,
we don't need it because we've got what you're saying coming out.
That's right. I want to say, first of all, that it's an honor to be invited to speak before this honorable committee, and I thank you for that invitation. I am Judy Miller. I'm an official court reporter in Fort Worth, Texas. I have been in the courts for 30 years there, and utilize the same technology that you're seeing our court reporter do on her stenographic machine this morning, called real-time court reporting. I want to introduce our court reporter, who is Dana Hayden from Lufkin, Texas, the beautiful lady here working on the stenographic machine, and Donna Collins to her left is also a court reporter from Dallas, Texas. She's a firm owner and past president of the Texas Court Reporters Association. There are many people in the audience that I'm sure will be recognized and hopefully will have a chance to speak, but I wanted to specifically introduce Carl Reynolds with the Office of Court Administration, who's in the back of the room, and Margaret Bennett and Katie Bond and Michelle Henricks. From Margaret and Katie are with the Office of Court Administration and our legal liaisons, and Michelle Henricks is the director of the Court Reporter Certification Board. I am a member of the Court Reporter Certification Board, and I am here representing that board today. I've served on that board for 6 years. It's by appointment of the Supreme Court. That board is comprised of 4 members of the public. It is chaired by a district judge. There are 2 attorneys on the board, and the rest is court reporters or court reporter firm owners. Senator Wentworth went over your charge, and I want to just start off by talking about technology in society today. It's clear that in today's digital age, we must be technologically literate to live, learn, and work successfully. Technological literacy is knowledge about what technology is, how it works, what purpose it can serve, and how it can be used efficiently and effectively to achieve specific goals, which I know from the work of this honorable committee is your goal. The public, it goes almost without saying, the public has a growing dependency on technology. We are an instantaneous society. We do not expect real time, we demand it. The courts are no different. There are many stakeholders in our judicial system. Our citizens are justifiably demanding better access to the courts, to our judiciary, the litigants and the parties to the courts, and as well as those whose life and liberty is at stake. The citizenry, includes thousands of disabled individuals, hearing impaired persons, which the federal government has mandated access to our courts through the Americans with Disabilities Act. I stand before you as a resource, if needed, and with the duty of explaining court reporting technology as we know it in Texas, which is currently utilized in our courts and provided by certified, skilled court reporters. I too will address what I know about electronic recording and explain the differences, in my lay opinion, in tape recording and digital recording. My goal is to give you an overview of record-making technology and its implications for the future. I'll offer information on the many factors involved when considering these various methodologies. I've also been asked to address the current statutes and rules, but I'm delighted that Jody Hughes is here from the Supreme Court. Jody is in the back row over there, and although he and I have talked many times on the phone, today was our first personal meeting, so I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for his presence. I am familiar with the current state of the statute and the rules, and Jody and I will likely, as looking at your agenda, it will be likely that we will close the meeting with that information. The dictionary defines the term real time as a general concept which refers to a system that responds to events or signals as fast as possible as they happen. We've watched our nation at war in real time. We've watched the abolishment of the Twin Towers in real time. Our fire and police dispatch in real time. Our firefighters and police watch the city's emergency equipment move about in the city in real time so that they can respond to emergencies faster than ever before. We enjoy stock news and daily stock picks in real time. We watch our bank accounts in real time. We view cloud images as seen from space by geostationary satellites in real time. The list goes on and on. Why should the integral role of the courts, of the judges, be any different? Why should the citizenry expect anything different? A real-time court reporter's stenographic notes are translated instantly, as you see on the screen. That's what we're displaying on the screen before you. It's called a real-time translation or computer-aided transcription being performed by a very skilled professional court reporter. Real-time court reporters create a verbatim text record of the proceedings for instant review and use by the attorneys and judges. In fact, real-time is the only voice-to-text technology that meets the rigorous demands for accuracy that exists in the legal government. Since the testimony is displayed on a computer screen, the attorney can concentrate more on substantive issues and less on capturing what was just said. Real-time also allows those unable to attend the examination to participate. Since real-time transcription can be sent securely over the internet, many attorneys have their experts and clients monitor the testimony while it happens. Court reporting technology is used to provide television's live closed captioning and communication access real-time translation, captioning of classes, meetings, etc., to provide access to those hearing impaired individuals I mentioned earlier. I can read fairly fast, as Dana probably can attest, certainly faster than I listen. When reading, I can dwell on a word or a phrase and go back to understand a phrase or a sentence and stop and think when I want. When listening to audio, you are not only limited to approximately the speed of the person speaking, but it is considerably harder to go back to review. I can also skim or skip much of the text when reading through it. I'm going to ask Donna, who I introduced to you earlier, to do some things on her computer screen that you're watching to sort of demonstrate how the judges and the litigators, the discovery process works when utilizing this technology. Again, the court reporter is using CAT, which is an acronym for computer-aided transcription software provided by many different companies across the nation. Donna's loaded software on her computer called LiveNote, a big user out in the by the lawyers, this software, and there are others. There's Real Legal, CaseView, and Summation. Many of these software companies provide viewing-only software for free for the judges and for the lawyers. Now, if you want to go to the subscription service of this software, where you can database and do more sophisticated things, then you would pay a subscription fee. But again, this is available for free for the litigators. Just as the judge, lawyers, paralegals, and court staff might need to search back in the day's testimony for the last question, a repeated phrase, or a ruling on an objection or motion, I'm going to ask Donna to search in each instance on this screen in today's testimony so far where the term technology appears. She's going to start at the top, and there's the first instance, or there's the last instance of the word technology. She can also, as things are going along, the judge, the lawyer who's using the software, can make what's called quick marks by just using one stroke on the keyboard. Donna has been doing that this morning, so now I'm going to ask her to show the quick marks that she has made, and then I want to explain the practical application of this simple user-friendly software. Donna, you're going forward with the marks? Okay, she's skipping from one mark to the other now. And just to so that most of you can relate to what happens in a courtroom, as we speak in the court where I am the court reporter, we're picking a capital murder jury. Most of you know that process where the jurors are brought in individually, and the attorneys will question them about areas of the law. Some of them are very specific about areas of the law that they could not follow or that they would do automatically, and some of them equivocate back and forth. My judge has a screen just like this, and as things are happening, as the juror or the veneer person speaks, anything that could disqualify that juror for either side, she marks. And then at the end of the testimony, when the that individual testimony, when the attorneys are ready to make their challenges or use their strikes, she generates a report from those marks, so that she in her expertise sort of knows what they're going to, you know, which side's going to make their challenge. And number one, it keeps the lawyers honest because they know that she has instant access to the testimony. It also allows her to make a much quicker, educated decision on whether or not to grant the challenge for cause or make them burn a strike. So I go into that long diatribe just to sort of allow you to see the practical application of this technology. Another point that I wish to make about this technology, the court reporting technology and the digital text that we generate, is that the appellate courts require a written record. The appellate courts have gone one step further in that they require a digital version of the written record. So that, and Donna has generated a report here for us to sort of show you how quick and simple it is. And then, forgive me for digressing, but with that report, then you can actually save that file for later. So the judge actually has a whole file full of her rulings and the reasons why. And then the lawyers can generate their reports when they go to write their briefs on a challenge that perhaps was overruled. So I'm sorry to digress there. But back to the appellate courts, they do require either a digital format in addition to the text. I would venture to say that the appellate courts will never feel any differently about having the text. We can furnish this text in many different forms. On a CD, we can furnish it in a condensed format so that we're not killing all the trees. And with that digital text that they receive, they can do the word searches and they can generate their own reports. They can cut and paste from the text. And there's no question when it's certified and sent to the appellate courts that this is the official record. This is the sworn officer of the court has sworn to the certification of this record. So that's one of the real major issues that I want to make here, and that's about our certification process and the accountability issue. Before I move off of the technology, I will tell you there's not time today to demonstrate it, but as Dana is writing on this machine and creating the written text, she's also recording digital audio on her hard drive so that when she goes back for the edit process, you may have seen mistakes up here, phonetic interpretations, or perhaps I stuttered and caused a mistake on the. She will go back and edit this transcript, and as you can see, 99.9% of it is done, but she can go back and hit a word and the audio comes up. She can also link video to the text so that when the appellate courts get it, they can have the video deposition in a separate window. The windows can be split up on their screen and they can see the witness testifying. They have the text, and they can search through as quickly as they want. So court reporters are utilizing all of the current technology, and they are being utilized by what we deem is the most important issue, a person who's skilled, a person who's certified by the board that you created, and a person who is accountable. The accountability issue is huge, and I think that to elaborate on it might be somewhat redundant because we all know the importance of a record and what happens in the courts and what is at stake in most instances. I want to speak about the Texas history a little bit on this issue. I see many friends out in the audience, and some of which are on the opposite side of traditional court reporting. Traditional court reporting is no longer acceptable. court reporters have adopted this technology, are using this this technology, and the federal government has actually appropriated 80, Dana, is it 80 billion or 80 million? 80 million. Okay, I don't want to overemphasize, $80 million for training real-time court reporters. $20 million of that has already been appropriated, and it's been appropriated for real-time court reporting to use with the federal mandate with the Americans with Disabilities Act and with open meetings and that sort of thing. So the federal government has recognized the need for funding and the technology that has got to be utilized in our courts. Audio recording has been tried in our courts. It has failed in our courts. It has failed at the cost of the taxpayers. It's failed in many regards. I just was handed by Michelle when she came in a news release from Illinois, and I'm happy to talk about other states if you wish, but I know you'd much rather focus on Texas. But Illinois recently installed what I think you're going to see this morning, some court smart equipment. And there is a press release here from February the 26th of this year. Waukegan, Illinois News Sun reported that the court in Illinois are seeking reporters after many digital audio installation in various suburban Chicago counties were found to be faulty. The technology has proven to be a failure in some courts and mediocre in others, with bright spots only here and there depending on which manufacturer system is used. On the McHenry County side of Circuit Court, half of the courtroom systems were deemed failure. The Lake County side avoided installing the electronic systems. The Illinois legislature recently moved court reporters from the Supreme Court to the Circuit Court. Now the Chief Judge has authority to bring staffing levels of court reporters back up to the least adequate level and use electronic recording where live court reporters are not available and only in that instance. The Illinois Bar Association has declared its displeasure. In December, it passed a resolution declaring unacceptable the exclusive loose use of electronic tape recording to create official court records. Several counties, and I won't go through those, just use the sound process, and the bar also deemed that the courts should replace all the audio systems with court reporters. That list, I could go into that and waste a lot of your time because hopefully you've seen much of that. But back to the Texas history. The Supreme Court has allowed isolated instances of electronic recording in some of our courts. Years ago, they were called quote-unquote pilot projects. And I think you're going to hear from a judge today who I saw his name on the agenda and I know his face, who is in a district court now that prior to that had audio recording. And so I think he'll be your best resource on that situation. We have other situations. Judge Charlie Gonzalez, who I think is in the United States Senate now.
Congress.
Pardon me?
U.S. House of Representatives.
Okay, U.S. House of Representatives. Thank you. Tried audio recording in his courts, and his successor immediately changed to the real-time court reporter. This was back from the 80s and still utilizes a real-time reporter. There's a federal judge in Texas, Judge Prado, who's no longer on the federal bench, I don't believe.
He sure is.
Is he?
Absolutely sitting today.
Is he still in San Antonio?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Actually, he's a Fifth Circuit judge.
Okay.
But he's a federal judge for life.
Thank you. He is a Fifth Circuit judge. He's not on a trial bench, right?
Right.
Is that right? The federal government sort of strong-armed him into trying this system. He is one of the most outspoken of all the jurists that have had experiences with this about the miserable failures. His court to this day has a real-time court reporter utilizing this same technology. I have used my time, and I'm happy to answer questions. I'm happy to be here, and I will be here for the entire things. Court reporters have been ahead of the rest of the legal system in applying digital technology in the workplace. The certification board certifies skilled court reporters. That is our business. And you established this board back in 1977. You continue to budget for this board and the important work that it does, although we have like other agencies, received budget cuts that's caused us to have three tests a year and three board meetings a year, as opposed to the four meetings that we enjoyed for many years. And we've had to cut back on staff and mail outs and all the normal things that you do first before you do the drastic things. But as it stands right now, the Sunset Commission 2 years ago saw to continue this board for 12 more years. So you saw the good work of this board to help protect the record in our courts, and I hope that you will continue to, in that vein, and I, again, will be here as a resource, and if you have questions now, I'll answer them, or I'll defer to the next speaker.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your time.
Senator West?
I noticed that the newspaper article that you quoted from indicated that bar associations had taken a position on the use of this technology. Have bar associations in the state of Texas taken
absolutely.
A position?
Absolutely.
What position have they taken?
They have taken positions against the use of electronic recording. It's their thoughts, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I have things to furnish you if you need, that it's a matter of cost shifting. The costs are touted as being much less expensive to go with electronic recording. I have much information to refute that.
Sounds like arbitration.
No arbitration. Senator West, before I get off of the Bar Association, I want to speak about the Texas judiciary. Judge Delaney is in the audience. Judge Delaney enjoyed a district court where he utilized recording for a period of time. And Judge Delaney went to the Texas Center for the Judiciary every year for over 10 years with a resolution to allow for the use of electronic recordings in the court in lieu of the court reporter. He was overwhelmingly overruled, and most of the time never got a second on his resolution. So the Texas judiciary has spoken. The Texas judiciary will continue to speak, and hopefully we'll hear from some of those today. Did I answer your question, Senator?
You have. So you're saying that what about the Texas Bar Association? Has it taken a position?
Yes, they have taken a position in the Texas Trial Lawyers Association. Glenda, can you give me any other groups? I know the American Judges Association.
The American Trial Lawyers Association. The TTLA, the Defense Bar.
Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. There's so many acronyms out there, but yes, they have.
And all of them are opposed?
Yes, sir.
So what you're saying, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
What you're saying is that the folks that use the courtroom on daily or unanimously, at least in their organizational positions, opposed to alternative electronic recording?
The overwhelming majority, yes. And I can say that unequivocally from my years of experience with the judges and the lawyers and the miserable failures associated with
any questions,
the projects.
More questions?
All right, Ms. Mellers, thank you very much
thank
for your demonstration.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not at all. That's fine. A lot of people don't want to sit next to Senator West. Are there any other questions of Ms. Miller? And let me remind you again, for those that want to testify, we've got witness cards in the back of the room. We'd love to have you fill out. The next witness who signed up is Jeff Nadler. Mr. Nadler here.
On behalf of CourtSmart, Andrew Trinus will be speaking.
I beg your pardon?
On behalf of CourtSmart, Andrew Trinus will be speaking.
Andrew Trinus, okay. Welcome to the committee.
Yeah, thank you very much, Senator.
Yes, sir.
Did you?
Thanks. I don't think we have a witness card for you, Mr. Trinus.
I did fill one out, sir.
Did you?
My apologies.
That's okay. Maybe we're overlooking it. There you go. Okay, you had it. Super. Okay, thank you very much. If you'd identify yourself and who you represent, please begin your testimony.
I will. Senator Wentworth, ladies and gentlemen of the panel, honored guests this morning. My name is Andrew Trinus, and I represent a company called CourtSmart Digital Systems. CourtSmart has been in the business of electronic recording for about 10 years. We're headquartered in Massachusetts, near Boston. We have installations in over 35 states in the United States, in Canada, and other foreign countries as well. We do both electronic audio as well as video recording. You know, I'm asked to speak on behalf of electronic recording to many venues. But, you know, I thought today it would be a little different because I'm not here advocating the use of electronic recording. I'm here advocating choice, making an informed choice by the people who need to use the system and the people who pay for the systems as well. I'm not going to tell you that court reporters don't perform a good and valuable service. They certainly do. I'm not going to tell you that electronic recording is any better or any worse than court reporters because it depends upon the application. The most successful installations that we have, and I'm speaking on behalf of the electronic industry, not just my company, have been those that employed a hybrid approach. Using court reporters and technology such as that where applicable, using electronics where applicable, and where cost effective. For every dismal failure that can be cited for electronics, dismal failures can be cited for everything else. It isn't about the infallibility of any one particular process. It's about the ability to do what happens to be appropriate for the individual case. If, in fact, all the lawyers and all the bar associations and all the judges in the country were opposed and against the use of new technology, why is it employed in every single state and union? If the federal courts are giving $80 million or $80 billion or trillion dollars or just a few zeros when you talk about the feds, if they're giving that, why are the federal governments using electronic technology in bankruptcy courts, magistrate courts, district courts, hearings? If the technology fails so dismally, why are there over 800 courtrooms in the state of Florida that are currently using electronics? And if the technology fails so dismally, why are companies going out, why are states, jurisdictions going out and doing that? But it isn't about failure. It isn't about success today. It's about choice and the right to make a choice and not legislate against a judge, a county, a litigant choosing one method over another. So if you look at the handouts, I was told I couldn't do this electronically in PowerPoint, so we kind of did the next best thing and sort of resorted back to paper, which I suppose is good in one sense. You can make notes on this, and you can't make notes on a PowerPoint presentation. So let's talk about choice, and let's talk about how choice came to be and where it's going. Electronic recording is nothing really new. It started back in the 1940s. In fact, it originated in Chicago at Navy Pier, where the Navy embarked upon technology to record proceedings on wire recorders and the old steno-masking techniques. So it's nothing new. We're not talking about something that's revolutionary. We're talking about technology today that's evolutionary, not revolutionary. In 1995, when I started my company, about 25% of the courts in the United States were using electronic recording, analog tape recording, either reel-to-reel, cassettes, or some other means of electronically recording the record. By 2005, 50% courts and hearing rooms in the United States use electronics in one form or another. It's been projected that by the year 2010, nearly 75% of courtrooms will be utilizing electronic technology for recording in one form or another. Now, you have to understand, when we look at electronic recording, we're looking at some fundamental differences. Technology has changed just like it has in court reporters. I've read the history of court reporting and go back into the early 1900s when there was shorthand reporting, and then in 1919 a Pittman machine came out and caused a revolution, and then the Steno machine caused another revolution, and then CAT took over in the 1980s. So court reporting, or the making of a record, has been a continuously evolutionary process, utilizing more and more technology as the technology became available. What I like to focus at today are the issues of practicality, the issues such as ownership of the record, who owns the record, if the county or the state is paying for someone to take the record, who has the right to own it? In Texas, the court reporters own it. And I use the analogy, it's sort of like if you went out and you hired someone to plant a lawn for you in your house. And then they planted the lawn and they said, you know, it's going to need mowing, but we're the only ones that can mow it. Oh, and by the way, we own it. I'm not sure any of us would think that that was a really great opportunity. And we'd probably look for another landscaper, or at least look for a place to have some choice as to how we wanted and who we wanted to mow our lawn. There are a number of restrictive rules and regulations that prohibit today the ability to make a choice. Standards should be set. In the state of Florida, for example, 2 years ago, Florida set technology standards, not just for digital court reporting, but for case management systems, et cetera. And it's these standards that the Supreme Court passed down to the various counties that said, look, we want to employ an e-strategy. We want to put technology in the courts, whether it's recording the record or whether it's managing cases. But we want the technology that we put into the record, into the courts, to be consistent.
Mr. Trance, I encourage you to stay sorry. Close to those for recording sorry. Purposes. You can walk a little bit, but.
If we had a better system, we could pick up all that.
I'm sorry. You had a court-smart system. Okay. Many states are employing technology now in e-filing. And any technology that you employ, that you embrace, or that you allow by virtue of choice should be consistent with strategies and standards that you all feel are important for the state as a whole. And the last thing at issue is one has to define what is the official record. If you're going to utilize electronic or allow the choice to utilize electronic, and some of your courts do here in Texas, Is that the official record? Is the official record a paper transcript? What about transferring the electronic record directly to an appellate court, as some are doing in the state of Illinois, in Ohio, in Massachusetts, in Florida? What about that? And where will Texas be when it comes to that? There are some limitations on the status quo. To do nothing and maintain the very thing that you've got now, number one, you're going to have a cost to make the record that we maintain is higher than it could be by implementing more technology. There is an issue of availability of trained real-time court reporters. Y'all here in Texas appear to have, you like that, y'all? I like that too. That sounds good. Y'all appear to have a plethora of trained reporters, but that's not always the case in all parts of the state. I've gone to many parts of the state. Mr. Nadler, who represents CourtSmart here in Texas and other states and surrounding area, has been to other parts, and they don't have a great supply of court reporters. Dallas or the big cities, yes. But in the future, where is that supply going to come from? And then what is going to happen? In many venues, there's a lack of a record. We maintain that every court should be a court of record. Whether it's a traffic court, somebody should have the ability to have a copy of a proceeding. Putting a court reporter or putting some other form of making a record would be a good idea for a lot of reasons, not to mention the least of which is security today, to have a secure record in every court. The time effective use of the record. If a judge wants to review or an attorney wants to review in other states, for example where our technology is being employed, attorneys can dial into the system and get an accurate record of what happened that day, any other day. They can bring it up on their systems in their offices.
Pardon me, Senator Duncan's got a question.
Yes, sir.
Would you tell me how your system works?
I will. I couldn't do a demonstration.
So. Well, that's okay, but just tell us technically how, you know, for example, if I'm in the courtroom, what's happening? And then let us ask questions that we can compare the certified shorthand reporters with that. And, you know, I'm not sure how your system works. If it's just a tape recorder that's electronic, you know, I'm not too interested in it for the courtrooms. But I would want to know if it's more than that.
All right. Let's use this room as an example because...
Excuse me, Senator.
Senator West?
I mean, can we get a demonstration of how it works?
I hope your staff wasn't told that you couldn't do a demonstration.
We were told that, sir.
I think you were told you could. And there's something about laptops that... Why don't you use a mic, ML, and respond? Because I think we told everybody they could. We encouraged and welcome.
We understood that you all were going to bring a laptop to do this PowerPoint presentation on, as well as there's a little, it's like a 10 or 15 minute presentation, which we have on discs for the members, that should be, if we pass those out, that we were going to play. And so we always intended for you all to do that.
No, we were told that before this started we would have the CDs that we handed out before we'd be playing as the demonstration on the screen.
Right, on your laptop though.
Let me let her
finish answering.
Once we found out that they didn't have a laptop, we contacted media and we got our laptops from the Jurisprudence Committee, but evidently they have to be calibrated to the room, and so we couldn't get that done.
What's wrong with this projector?
Can we use that projector?
The projector's fine, but the laptop is, we don't have a laptop to connect to.
We've got a laptop.
There's no speakers.
We can play it through the PA system.
I thought you said you did not have a laptop.
Oh, I have a laptop we can play, but I thought that beforehand this would be playing on a laptop. So
how long will it take to just kind of put it through and do it?
Okay.
Yeah, we'd like to see a demonstration. Okay. If we can work that out.
Right now.
While Jeff is setting that up, let me explain to you gentlemen how the system would work in this venue, because we do in fact
point out
some technology. Okay. In Florida, for example, We also have our technology in the Florida Senate in all the committee rooms. What happens is, you have microphones, as you have now, you have cameras that can either switch on to the speaker or give you a broad panoramic view of all the proceedings. Everything that's spoken is recorded on redundant servers. There's always two servers that are recording everything for this entire building, for every room that's in the building. Everything is logged onto these servers, stored in the database. So you can go back in and you can search for any proceeding, any part of a proceeding that you want that's either currently being recorded or has been recorded. You can listen to a committee meeting, if you're authorized to do so, in another location, in your own offices, if you wanted to hear this committee meeting, or your staff could hear this committee meeting in other locations as it's being done. We can stream video to security and audio, so security would have a full view of everything that the participants would have as well. That's essentially how the system works. The difference between digital technology and the old tape recorders is kind of like looking at old black and white television and now high definition color television. Everything still records the verbatim record. The difference is the clarity, the sharpness, and because it's digitized and because it's on a computer, you can now maneuver, listen, play it back, make duplications, the same as any other music file you might have on your computer.
Senator Gallegos has a question.
Yes, sir, Senator.
And I'm sorry I'm late, but I have two relatives that are court reporters. What does your program do that's different than what they're doing now? And I won't get home and find out that, you know, she hollers at me and says, oh, you listen to that bad man that's going to do away with my job. So, I mean, you know, tell me what's the difference between your presentation that I did not see and what we have here in Texas.
No, he hadn't made his presentation. We're going to see his.
Oh,
you're going to see it.
Well, I mean, but you can tell me.
Well, I can. If you look at the basics, both systems do the same thing. They make a copy of the verbatim record.